Well, this is the last of three sermons on the parable of the prodigal son. Jesus used this parable to explain to his listeners what the heart of God the Father is really like towards us, his children. I've been inspired by a book by a priest called Henry Nguyen and a picture, which hopefully you've got on the handout sheet, by Rembrandt. Last week, when we considered the elder son, I said it would be better to call it the parable of the two lost sons. However, this week, I believe we've good reason to upgrade the parable's title once again to the parable of the father's overflowing love. We will start by considering the depiction of the father's divine love in the painting. Throughout his life, Rembrandt was fascinated by older people and their inner beauty. Is it not true that there is a quality of love that older people can give? A gentler, more consistent, deeper love that comes from having weathered the storms of life. The father is the only main figure in the painting facing us. And if you look closely at his eyes and his hands, it seems that he may well be blind. Again, this is artistic license by Rembrandt, because of course in the parable he runs out to see his son. The father in the painting no longer sees by external appearances, but he sees with the inner eye of the heart. And if you look even more closely, you may notice that his hands are not quite the same size. This has been the subject of considerable debate, but it does hint at the feminine and the masculine being caught up in the heart of God, a heart which burns with the desire to welcome his children home. Reflecting on this depiction of God in the painting, Henry Nguyen writes, "As father, the only authority he claims for himself is the authority of compassion. That authority comes from letting the sins of his children pierce his heart. There's no lust, greed, anger, resentment, jealousy, or vengeance in his lost children that has not caused him immense grief. The grief is so deep because his heart is so pure. From the deep inner place where love embraces all human grief, the father reaches out to his children. The touch of his hands, radiating inner light, seeks only to heal." Nguyen continues, "Here is the God I want to believe in. A father who from the beginning has stretched out his arms in merciful blessing, never forcing himself on anyone, but always waiting. Never letting his arms drop down in despair, but always hoping that his children will return so that he can speak words of love to them and let his tired arms rest on their shoulder. His only desire is to bless." But as we learnt last week, the dutiful elder brother who was to inherit all that remained did not delight in his father's heart. He was not able to see that he was loved just as much as his rebellious brother. He believed that his father's love was finite and measurable, and concludes, "Well, if my father shows such love to my brother when he's squandered so much, it means that he loves him more than he loves me. It's unfair." Perhaps the older brother is actually asking the deeper question, which we've all asked of ourselves. Does anyone really love me? One of the problems of our fallen human condition is that in our insecurity, we compare ourselves to others and allow our sense of gladness or sadness to depend on these comparisons. One of the great challenges for Christians is to accept that God truly loves and values each one of us equally. For us to move from belonging to the world to belonging to God. Not to look with the eyes of low self-esteem or comparison, but to look with the eyes of love. And to humbly accept that God wants to find me and you more than we want to find God. A greater challenge still is to move from that mindset when we feel like dependent children to being more like the Father, seeking to love even when we're treated appallingly. God loves both sons so much, it did not occur to him to delay the party to prevent the older son feeling rejected. The father is so naive as to think that his children, and indeed you and I, are so happy to be in his presence that we'd not dream of comparing ourselves to each other. God looks at his people as children of a family who are happy that those who have done only a little bit are loved as much as those who accomplish much. Well, as I reflected on this overflowing generosity of the Father during my retreat last year, I realised how much of my identity is still tied up with comparison with others, rather than rooted securely in God's love. I realised how imbalanced I am. I'm so well programmed to feel insecure at the slightest suggestion of personal inadequacy, but highly resistant to receiving affirmation and love from God, and indeed others. This parable, of course, also prompted me to think of my family situation, and I did not like reminding myself that when there is the slightest whiff of injustice to me, my initial reactions are often very defensive and self-justifying. And it's after that, I have to remember, of course, that I'm a vicar, I then have to try and think, behave, and speak in a way which is more like the father than like one of the ungrateful sons. Well, if you do want to find another priest, I would quite understand. But before you boot me out, let me share something that helped me to respond to that spark in my heart which longed to move towards the Father's love as depicted in the parable, even though I realise I've got a long way to go. It's the theme of celebration. We sung, it's great to sing that carol. Such a shame sometimes, these wonderful carols, we only sing them at Christmas. Have you noticed, as you read through the scriptures, how often God likes to throw a party and to celebrate? When Jesus describes God's kingdom, a big party was often at the centre of things. For example, the kingdom of heaven is described as a wedding feast. People are invited to celebrate at the end of the parable of the lost sheep, the lost coin, and elsewhere. Indeed, as we're about to, have you noticed, we celebrate communion. We celebrate. We don't mourn communion. We celebrate communion. We remember when we do so that Jesus told us that we would drink wine with him again in the kingdom of his Father. God celebrates whenever we move towards his kingdom. As Christians, though we're not naive to the pain we see and experience, we must also celebrate the joys. In this life, we can celebrate every little hint that the kingdom of God is at hand. I pray that we will learn to celebrate as we take small steps towards the Father, and that we'll be encouraged and strengthened as we do so. Well, that concludes my mini-series on this parable. There's been so much I have wanted to say and haven't been able to squeeze in. I do hope that you've been able to get something out of it. Maybe you can relate to the prodigal son, who is rebellious but is surprised at the warm embrace of the father. Maybe you can relate to the resentful elder brother, who by the maths of the situation calculates that he's been hard done by, but whose hardness has blinded him to the blessings he already has. We don't know how the story ends for the two brothers. But like them, we're all invited to draw closer and to be intimate with a father who, despite his grief at us, forgives and has overflowing love for each one of us. And he longs to celebrate as he welcomes each one of us home. Amen.